Hi, folks. This is Dr. John Acquaviva. This is an encore presentation of Faith in Sport.
You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, coming to you from our Charlotte studios, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic mobile app. It's Faith and Sport coming to you with a brand new broadcast today. I'm Chris, the producer, and as always, your host for Faith and Sport, the one, the only, the incomparable, you know him as Dr. John Acquaviva.
Hey, folks, welcome to the show wherever, whenever, however you are joining us. We're just glad that you're with us today. Faith in Sport, this is where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. So whether you are a referee, an administrator, an athlete, a parent, grandparent of the athlete, this is a show for you because we tie in ethics and character, morality into the world of sports. So it's a regular sports show. Just buckle yourself into the fact that there's going to be some Catholicism, some ethics and morality. Here's what we're going to do today. Talk today's sports topics, including our hit or miss with Jason Murphy. You know his name. He's been on the show before. He hosts The Obligation, does a bunch of other stuff for the diocese. He's going to join us in 1 minute. Our guest is Paula Umana. She is a former world-ranked professional tennis player, author of 40 Gifts of Life. She's going to join us in the second half of the show. We have our stat of the day. Chris, we're going to do something different, brother.
Okay.
We are going to do parts one and parts two, if we have time, of stat of the day. Normally, we've just done part one, so the audience out there is probably sweating with anticipation. What? There's two parts to this? And the answer is yes, folks. So buckle yourself in.
Sport cliffhanger.
And no caffeine, because otherwise your heart won't be able to take it. Just either way, we're going to have a good time today. And then at the end, we're going to do a quick Q&A with Dr. A. And as my student always told me, you can't rhyme in that same sentence with the same letter. But we'll dismiss that. Brother, how you doing? Happy Easter. I want to say, no, we've had Easter since you and I last talked.
That's right.
The Easter season's going all right for you? Everything good?
Yes, and my Braves are doing well.
I know they are.
I was kind of worried about them there when they were playing their last series, but they seem to be coming back.
They're going to be fine.
Two of their games with the Mets got rained out. They're trying to play their
next
game,
see if
they can get it in. Yeah.
The guy to watch out for, not just on the Braves, but in the whole National League, is a guy by the name of Strider.
Yeah.
That guy is terrific.
Yes, he is.
And
he happens to be an Atlanta Brave.
And he happens to be Atlanta Brave. Anyway, brother, good to see you. Listen,
good
let's get started
you.
With our show. We're going to do our hit and miss, and we're going to start the whole conversation off with talking with our old friend Jason Murphy. Jason, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, Dr. John. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I like, just kind of like, you know, Lent. I'm in the way that we celebrate Lent and the way that we celebrate the Triduum, that Easter is not just a day, but it's a season.
That's right.
And I love the fact that that is always surrounding the readings at church. It's always surrounding the discussion in the homily and so forth. And this is the best time of year. I think this is terrific. I struggle through Lent like most people because I give some things up. I do some other things, but it's a good struggle. And my guess is you're the same, that it's good that it's over. The fight has been won by our Lord, but there's more work to be done, isn't there, brother?
Yeah, we get to sit on the mountaintop for a little bit.
And then what happens after that?
Man, got to go down. No pitching tents around here. Gotta
brother,
down
tell
the mountain.
Tell the audience, both in Carolina Catholic Radio Land and Radio Maria Land, what you are starting, this program you are starting. Is it for all men, all Catholic men? For who's this for? Tell us the name of it and what you're doing.
This is for the greater glory of God.
I love it.
That's right. Yeah. Right,
so, and what is it called?
It's called the Martyr's Walk.
And you created this, isn't it? You invented it.
I am God's tool.
Okay.
I'm just a stubborn, ignorant tool that's being used.
I don't know, brother.
For something here.
If you
I'm
were
not
stubborn.
Sure.
No, if you were stubborn, you'd be at Dunkin' Donuts right now eating a stack full of donuts, but instead you're doing God's work. Tell us about this program
seconds. Sure. The Martyr's Walk, it's a Catholic Christian boot camp, if you will, a combination of Ignatian retreat, versus Special Forces boot camp. Kind of smacked together. If you can get your head around that, we're going to push men to their extremes, physically, spiritually, mentally.
Yes.
Let them know that there's more in the tank. Let them know that you know that they've been holding back. Let them know that there's more out there and God is calling them to more. So we're going to help facilitate that. Through a lot of grueling mental, physical, spiritual exercises.
And you, this came to you how? How did you kind of come up? Was it taken off of a page of Exodus 90 playbook, or you're familiar with
kind
that?
Kind of a culmination. Yeah, I've done the Exodus 90. I've been
how many
there.
Times?
Yeah, one time. I did
okay.
that one time.
And I've that, done, that was plenty.
That was tough. It was tough.
But,
okay?
But this is
but it was
be
spread
tougher.
Out over 90 days. This is going to be 3 days of very, very intense intensity.
So in essence, it's going to be like fervent prayer where you're going to be physically still, and
yep.
then literally the next minute you're going to be running up a mountaintop trying to touch God's hand reaching out to you.
Pretty
like
much.
Up yeah. Mount Everest.
Everything will be done with intentionality so that each exercise is kind of coordinated with a spiritual exercise.
Like
so
that.
I'm not going to give any details on what we do there. Because
you want to bring them in.
It's going to be a very, very, it's going to be a surprise for even the guys that come in to be trained for it, and then
yep.
of course the guys in August when our first event is, but you know there could be things, and I'm just going to throw random out there. You know, it could be carrying your own 200-pound cross. I'm just saying, it's very possible.
Got it.
So there's the physical side, there's the spiritual
yeah.
side. There will be some mental side. It came from the fact that I've been involved in men's ministries for years.
Yep.
Of course, you know the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, sure. The Knights of Columbus, and I've been called. I feel like God has called me to dig my claws in a little bit deeper, or allow God to dig His claws a little bit deeper.
That's one way to put it.
Through my cooperation with this. So we're hoping that this is not just a one-time event, not just a three-day event. You know, a lot of guys, I think they come to the men's conference or they show up to the Knights of Columbus meeting. They check it off their list. They go back to their comfortable, complacent lives. We're all guilty of that, I myself included. But the cure to that is brotherhood. It's shared traumatic experience, which the military incorporates to build up men and
yep.
bring them together in a brotherhood.
Yep.
And so much of that, and it's all going to revolve around martyrdom. And so we're going to use the Roman martyrology. So many of the trials and many of the lessons for the day will be based upon the lives of the martyrs. They'll hear those each day. So there'll be rosary each day. There'll be time for brotherhood. There may be stations at the cross each day. So it's going
sure.
to be the most difficult physical and spiritual and mental things that, you know, they've come to experience, and we hope to, you know, have them leave ready to take the next step and listen to God's calling to be the men, the fathers, the husbands that we are called to be.
God bless you, brother. You and I talked about this for the first time. I want to say the last time we chatted on the phone a little more than a week ago. Is there anything at this point, a website or a...
Absolutely.
There is. Okay.
Yep.
So, and direct people to that so they can
so, yeah.
get an understanding
can
of it.
Definitely find us www.themartyrswalk.com. And they can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Martyrs Walk. I think you'll be...
Look
very
at
interested
you.
And have some good information
absolutely.
There. Yeah,
absolutely. Good for you, brother.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to pray for this. In fact, I can't imagine not being a part of it at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
we'll get you out there, Doc.
I love
sure.
it. I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
All right.
Chris,
folks,
too. Hey.
Yeah, there you go.
This is not strictly Catholic.
That's
we're
right.
Be,
no, no.
It is
okay.
going to be for men that are seeking that, you know, it
that's
may
right.
not even be Christian. We're not going to try and convert anybody while they're there.
Yeah.
We're going to show them the truths of our Catholic faith and how they have formed men for millennia.
Yep.
And also the tools of the military and different exercises that have
awesome.
Formed soldiers for hundreds of years. So.
That's right. Good for you. Folks, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, a co-production of Radio Maria, Faith and Sport, where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. Joining me in studio today is the great Jason Murphy. As always, we start our conversation on Faith and Sport with a hit or miss of the week, something negative or positive that happened in the world of sport. Jason, as always, the guest goes first. Brother, which is a hit or a miss?
So, Doc, I'm going to have a hit today, and man, I was looking back in my history banks here of all my hits and misses, and I think more times than not, I'm talking about Alabama football, and I don't know
and
what
tell everybody
that is.
Why that's a big deal.
Born and bred, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, go Tigers. You know, I'm an alumni, LSU, and it is ingrained in us. You know, we're not supposed to like Alabama.
That's right.
There you go. There's the spit there. You know, every time I got to say that word. So, But regardless, more times than not, I'm talking about Alabama football here. That must mean deep down, maybe I love them. I don't know.
No, it doesn't mean that. It does mean that you respect their program.
That's right.
Some very good things have come out of there.
I do.
I've talked about Alabama football, in particular Catholic Nick Saban
a
few times.
That's right.
So tell us what your hit is.
So I've got Bryce Young.
Yes.
So, you know, Bryce just recruited to the Carolina Panthers.
That's right.
You know,
not recruited, but drafted.
Drafted. Yes. Drafted to the Carolina Panthers. Great quarterback. And Bryce, you know, great young man. He won the Heisman in 2021.
Yep.
Was very thankful first and foremost to God and to his family. So it's you know, it's a beautiful thing to still see that, because you don't see it very often these days, especially in the line of sports or men in general. You know, unfortunately in this day and age, we're kind of a little slow to acknowledge God before other men. But but going back to even his Heisman, you know, he was very thankful. And, you know, that night he said, God is great, truly grateful for everyone who made this possible and for all the support I've received. All glory to God. So that was prior, obviously, to him coming to Carolina. But recently, when he found out that he was going to be coming to Carolina, he said, it's a dream come true. I'm blessed. I want to thank God for allowing me to be here, for my parents and everyone who supported me. Although it's my name being called, there's so many people that pushed me and allowed me to be here. And then finally, he says, regardless of how someone else views me, whatever award, accolade, whatever someone may say, negative, positive, I appreciate and I'm grateful for the positive and even for the negative, he said. But at the end of the day, what motivates me and pushes me is to model myself after the Lord. I definitely have a lot of work to do. So amen to that. You know, it's just a breath of fresh air, especially a young man, you know, being in such a position. I mean, a young guy, what is he, 21, 22 years old?
At the most, 22.
You know, leading an NFL football team, you know, just leaving with the highest accolades from Alabama under, you know, one of the greatest coaches in history.
That's right.
And it just, you know, so props to him. So there's my hit, Bryce Young.
That's outstanding. A question I have for you outside of the faith-based aspect. Do you expect him to be above average, great, elite quarterback at the NFL level?
Yeah. You know, I think the word on the street, everybody's kind of concerned about his size.
Yeah, they are, very much so.
Big part of that. And, you know, he's going to be from sitting at the top of the heap to kind of all part of the same big heap.
That's right. 'Cause
he's playing against the best of the best every week. You know, we're going to see. You know, we'll see if he rises to the occasion. I think he certainly has the ability.
Your prediction, though, because you watch, you're probably like me, you watch a whole lot more college football than you do NFL football. So you got a chance to watch him.
That's
firsthand.
Right.
He plays against LSU every year.
Yep.
But your prediction, he will be.
I want to be positive, Doc. I'm trying to have a. I'm trying
it's,
to have.
It's okay
it here.
To be negative I, on this part of the show.
I think potentially he's going to struggle a little bit with his size. I think he's going to be seeing a lot of reality. When that D line comes at him, that he's
and they're going to be fast. Not only going to be much bigger than him.
They're going to be much faster.
Yeah, much faster than he experiences at the college level.
And there's no. There's no weeks off there. You know, he's not going to be playing, you know, an ACC team or some other conference team where he's getting a break. It's on every single week.
Yep. In the slowest guys in the NFL were some of the fastest guys at the college level. They're going to catch him from behind. They're going to catch him from the side. I love him. I want to see him succeed.
Yep.
I think it's terrific, like, why you had him as your hit. I mean, how do you not respect and like the guy in cheer form at any level? Everything about him is likable. I just don't think he's going to be very good. I think that in the depths of the heart of the analyst, this was not a very good quarterback year.
Right.
And I was kind of surprised the Carolina Panthers rushed themselves up to that first pick. They gave away a lot to do that.
Yeah.
And to do that for somebody where there's a lot of questions, I question that. But at some point, you got to try for your quarterback, and there's an upside to him, and that guy's a winner.
Oh, yeah.
And on top of it, how do you go wrong with a personality like
that?
That's
right.
He's great.
He's going to be a feather in a lot of D-line's hats. I mean, they're going to be looking for him. There's going to be a lot of hungry guys looking to make that first sack.
I'm so glad he's very quick, because this maybe he'll rather than getting crushed, he'll just be able to get away. Maybe they'll just get him by the ankles or something. Let's do this, folks. We ran out of time already in this first break. I'll come back and we'll do my hit or miss, and we'll have more with Jason Murphy right after this. Thank you for joining us here on Faith in Sport. We said our goodbye the night before. Love was in your eyes.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling field agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria, Faith and Sport, where we merge sport and virtue. Joining me in the studio today is Jason Murphy. You're going to hear from him as we go back and forth throughout the show.
Host of The Obligation.
Host of The Obligation, that's right. And Jason just completed his, or just talked about his hit, and that is Bryce Young, and not just being the first pick, but how he glorified God and glorifies God in everything he does. I am so impressed by that. That was a great hit. I have a hit too. Mine's about pro sports as well. This is about the great player from Africa via Greece that came to America to play in the NBA. His name is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And this guy is one of the best players year after year in the NBA. And for the second year in a row, Jason, Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks were one of the heavy favorites to go to and win the NBA championship. But the last 2 years, they not only exited early, they exited really early. They exited at the end of the first series, which is a real disappointment to everybody. And Giannis, my man, put things in perspective in an interview immediately following the game. Now, granted, I want you guys to, as listeners, just frame what he's saying and maybe take a little bit of the vinegar that's in his voice, because he just got done losing a very disappointing series. His Milwaukee Bucks did. And clearly he's disappointed, but let's hear how he puts it in perspective when he's in a press conference and somebody asks him a specific question. Hit it, Chris.
Here's for you. Do you view this season as a failure?
You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Okay. Do you get a promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, I don't know, provide a house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success, you know? And if you've never, I don't want to make it personal. So, there's always steps to it. You know, Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championships. The other 9 years was a failure? That's what you're telling me.
I like that. We can listen to that whole thing. You could go to Twitter or YouTube and see that whole video, hear that whole response that he has to this question of, you know, how do you feel about losing? And, of course, that's just the press's way of, please talk about what just happened. But I love the way, Jason, he puts it in perspective, brother. He says that sports, just like any other job, is not necessarily about winning or losing. You take care of the small things, and then the outcome will take care of itself. In other words, what he's saying is you don't need to get an award. You don't need to get a promotion for you to have a successful year. He tried. He worked his tail off this year to try to get to the highest level, win that NBA championship, but he didn't quite get there, and he's trying to make that crystal clear to the press. And the press, the fans, we all want to see our team win, and when they don't, they see it as a failure. He's putting in perspective. Your thoughts?
No, I think it's great. You know, it's a great drop the mic moment for Giannis. I really enjoy it.
Drop the mic. I love that.
I really like listening to that. You know, good for him. You know, yeah. He stayed composed while he spoke.
That's right.
He didn't get emotional. He
That's
said,
right.
I don't want to make this personal.
Yep.
And he was very forthright, very, very straight to the point. And,
right.
I think he made his point clear. And I doubt he'll get that same question next year.
You never
Hopefully
know.
Hopefully not.
I know you did catch that where he says, Eric, I think you asked that same question last year.
That's right.
One of the things that when we take a look at Michael Jordan, for instance, and you know, he won all those championships, but there was a lot of seasons which he didn't win.
Yeah.
I'll bet $100 that people from Chicago and the national press did ask him the same thing when they did lose. Like what happened? Why didn't you guys win this year? And he was like, hey, you guys know we just won the last 3 years in a row, or you know, but when you're in the moment, everybody wants to know how you feel. And I understand where the press is coming from, but even if they are asking that question just purely out of because it's their task as a reporter, there's always some truth in what they're asking. Like, this bothers you, right? And yes, it bothers them, but he puts it in perspective and clearly stating there is more to sport than winning and losing. It's about actually giving a better effort, trying to figure things out, doing things in a better way. And that's what we do as faithful people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Our spiritual life is probably different than it was 5 years ago, even a year ago. We keep trying to kind of mold into what God wants us to mold into, and we're going to die trying. At least I know I am, and I can speak for you. I'm sure that you would say the same thing.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, and great words of Rocky Balboa. It's not how many times you can get hit. It's how many times you can get hit and get back up. So,
one of the great philosophers
motivation.
Of all time, no doubt. That's one of the reasons I have you on this show, brother, to quote movies as well as scripture.
There you go.
Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. I teach exercise physiology right over there at Wingate University. But every couple of weeks, we come in here and we do a little program called Faith in Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. So what we do is we pick a lot of stuff that's going on in the world and that either has to do with ethics, character, morality, and then talk about it here. I think there's a lot of great stories out there, and one of them I want to get to, and what I referred to earlier in the program is the stat of the day. Let me give you some numbers. 1,155 games. 1,155 games. 13 years, and that's how long Drew Maggi played in the minor leagues, primarily for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Before he was finally called up in the last couple of days, finally, after 13 years, over 1,000 games as a minor leaguer, got called up, and God bless him. He not only got his first hit, he went a total of 2-for-6, so that means he hit .333. That's one of the highest batting averages in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that's fair to say that to the Hall of Famers, but still, he batted 6 times. He got 2 hits in those times, and the amazing thing was he was the story of the week, but he, in a way, overshadowed the Pirates, who are doing really well in Major League Baseball, and they were expected not to. I give this guy so much credit for not quitting. I give this guy so much credit for giving his all and then just having that dream come true. The smile on his face when he hit that solid line drive to center field was equal relief, but also pure joy. I felt so good for this guy. And the amazing thing was, is because he's got some age on him, if somebody were to say this is their first base coach, you would believe that, right? Because he's been, he's 33 years old, and that face looks like it has spent 13 years in the minor leagues, which is a hard, tough life. So, Drew, you are our athlete of the week, but that was the stat of the week, and Drew Maggi, and I hope that he gets called up again to go another 2-for-6 before he gets sent back down to the minors. Another thing I want to talk to you about, I thought this was great, and this, of course, is mirroring how I feel about the NBA. It's about Phil Jackson. And I heard this because he made some comments about the NBA. And I know in part it's because, right? Not in part, but it's probably because he purely loves the NBA. It was, he played in the NBA several years as a player. He went on to coach the aforementioned Michael Jordan and all those. I think he coached him in every one of those six NBA championships. And he made a public statement, some form of, he was in an interview, actually. And he said, quote, "I'm not enjoying the game. That's too bad. There's a whole generation that doesn't like the game. No, I don't watch NBA basketball. I watched the game evolve, and then they went into that lockout year, and they did something that was strange. They did that bubble thing down in Orlando." And then paraphrasing the rest of that conversation, he said, "I don't like how they got and made it political." Mm-hmm. Because there was banners, I think even paint on the floor during the pandemic, that said Black Lives Matter and so forth. And that really frustrated him. And that's something that you and I have talked about. That's something that Ed and I have talked about here on this show. Once you make sports political, even if there's a lot of people that agree with you, if it's political or a social construct within our society, that means at least half of the people are not going to like it or not agree with it. And he was ridiculed and even insulted by some talking heads on ESPN for saying that. Yeah. But I give him credit for saying that because he has a microphone in front of him in which a lot of people are going to listen. And that's the way a lot of people feel, including the people sitting at this desk right now.
That's right.
And I give him credit for saying it because it took some courage, I think, to say that.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the matter?
Yeah, I mean, everything's tainted these days, it seems. You know, it's hard to find a sport that's pure. I mean, you're just talking from the politics, but then looking at the sexual issues going on, you know, with the men wanting to play in the women's sports.
Oh, yeah, transgender issues,
of course. The transgender stuff going on. I mean, so it's just like everything's tainted. It's just it's lost the appeal. I mean, sport is like supposed to be that one, you know, last spot out there where we can kind of leave politics, we can leave religion, we can leave our angst, and we can, you know, we can go and we can cheer on our teams as a group, and that's definitely been divided up. I haven't watched NBA in, you know, I can't say I've watched an NBA game in several years, and unfortunately this past year and probably the one before with the NFL, it's kind of done the same thing, you know, for me as well. It's just not enjoyable when you have to, you know, be subjected to all this this political garbage that they want to force down, and I think it's starting to vomit itself back up. And I mean, for a man like that, Phil Jackson, being that involved to come out and say like he didn't even watch it anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, that man was basketball.
He was. He that's what made his career. That's what made him a millionaire, both as a player and as a coach. You're right. For him to say I don't like it anymore, that's one thing. For him to say I don't watch it anymore, it's interesting because I would love to see, Jason, the right Silver is his name, the head of the NBA, he's the commissioner. When him and his assistants are in the room and somebody comes to him with this or he sees this on his regular feed, whatever, I'd love to know what they actually say. Now, we know what they might put out, but it'd be interesting to know what they actually say about comments like this. Because they may say something like, "It's just one dude, we don't care." Mm. Or do they really care about what people like Phil Jackson think? Because he's just mirroring what other people must think.
Yeah.
Because he didn't say it with spite. He didn't say it with anger. You could just read his words. You could read the quote online. He's not mad. He's just speaking matter of fact and saying, "You're going to ruin sport if you keep doing this." Mm-hmm. And it's always amazing to me that people don't see this as it's happening. I think they're, so many times I've said on the show, they just see which way the wind's blowing and then they go in that direction and then they go, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like the Bud Light.
I was about to bring that one up.
Right? that was almost comical and that some of the people at the top said, we didn't know this was happening. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is that possible? They knew it was happening.
Sure.
That was their way of escaping things when it turned really bad.
Yeah.
And that was a really good example. You have a product. It's a very successful product. Don't get political. They're stepping into the murkiest waters in our culture right now, the transgender issue. There's nothing more murky than that issue. Right. And they're stepping in it to try to sell beer? Shocker. Unbelievable.
You just wonder how much outside force is actually involved there. How much, you know, governmental push, you know, threats of additional legislation or restriction and taxes and those type of things that maybe you know, pushed him, say, hey, you're gonna push this out, and we're gonna, yeah, you know, you're gonna roll it out. But I think the intent, the position of Phil Jackson is probably the position of the majority of people out there that are kind of disgusted with this. I would think more people than less don't want to hear about.
Agreed.
Political, you know.
Have you ever seen? We're going to go to break here in just a few seconds. But have you ever seen a poll or a survey that asked people those questions? Like when the NBA does this, when the NFL does this, how do you feel? Do you feel closer to the sport? Do you feel further away from the sport? I've actually never seen it. I've seen lots of surveys on who watches the sport after that stuff happens, but that doesn't directly reflect, because a lot of people may watch out of anger, right? Sure. Or they watch it, but they're a little angry.
Yeah.
We can continue this. Mm-hmm. Folks, listen, coming up right after the break, Paula Umana, a former world-ranked professional tennis player and author of the book, 40 Gifts of Life, Encouragement in Times of Sickness and Suffering. She's going to be a great guest. She has a lot to say about suffering and our faith, and she's coming at it from the viewpoint of a former professional athlete. This is Faith in Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria. Stay tuned. We have more right after this.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event, with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith in Sport, wherever, whenever, and however you're joining us. We're just glad that you join us today. This is Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria. Faith in Sport, where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. Joining me in studio today is The Obligations' Jason Murphy. You can check out Jason's show. Jason, before Paula Umana comes on here to talk about her book and talk about her faith and her life as a professional athlete, tell us about your show. I know you go in a lot of different directions on your show, but you call it The Obligation. Why?
So it was called The Obligation essentially because, you know, we all have an obligation, you know, not just the laws of the church and our obligations to be at Mass and to fast and to receive communion and confession, you know, once a year or anything like that. But obligation as individuals, you know, and obligations to our family, obligations to our children, our church community, our our God. And so we wanted to have this show to where, you know, men could speak, you know, about things going on in the world, things going on in their lives, you know, share that, have that camaraderie, have that brotherhood. We do a lot of interviews, so we hear a lot of conversion and reversion stories. And, you know, we talk church politics. We talk, you know, things going on in our world, you know, sure. Just secular politics. And, you know, just struggles, you know, guys that are struggling with things. You know, just this past week we had Joe Spano. He is a Navy veteran and decided to go back in, and now he's serving the Marines. Just finished boot camp out in Parris Island, so got to hear his story. A great story, you know, man, really, you know, there's not many out there really, you know, heroic souls like that that want to continue to serve the country, you know, in the direction that it's been going. But there's, you know, good men out there. And so kind of hear about his walk through the boot camp, you know, compare and contrast between the Navy and the Marines. And it was kind of providential because this week coming up, we have our training for the men's boot camp for the Martyrs Walk. And we have two Marines on that walk as well.
Awesome.
So it's going to be interesting to see these guys, how they perform in a little bit different circumstances. So the obligation, we air Fridays at 5 on the Carolina Catholic Media Network, streaming online in AM 1270.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great show. Tune in. Always lots of good conversation.
Yeah,
that's right. And if you miss it on Friday, you can also catch it on Saturdays during the Catholic Man Cave lineup on Carolina Catholic Radio, which includes The Obligation, Faith and Sport, The Remnant, The Catholic Man Show.
That's right.
And a lot of manly Catholic programming.
Yeah, there are. It'd be interesting to know, but you know, I'd say half the time I've heard from listeners, especially through Radio Maria, the different cities that we're in there, they've been women. Women, I think a lot of women, in fact, my guess is the demographic of Catholic radio in general is more women than men listen. But I would think that yours and my program, to an extent, probably talks to men more than it does to women.
Sure.
But actually, I think you mentioned this to me. You actually had a female guest on for the first time well into the recordings of your program, right?
I've had a couple, not many. I mean, just I think maybe two. Maybe three, basically hearing their conversion stories, their reversion stories, and certainly always open for good conversation. But I thought it was important because they spoke from the position of recognizing that men are not leading. And when the men are not leading, you see the women kind of step up, and it's sort of a disorder.
Yeah.
You know, it's honorable that the women do step up, but it is a disorder where the men, you know, should be leading their families, and they should be, you know, leading society in prayer and in that protector-defender position that unfortunately is all but gone these days.
Yeah, and you know this. I think this is worth repeating, even if we talked about it just the last show we had, which we didn't, but this is something worth repeating. I know you're fully on board, but it's going to it's going to strengthen what you just mentioned. There are several studies, several surveys that show that the major component, the major factor in a child growing up and following the Lord through our Catholic faith, or any faith for that matter, is the faith and practices of the faith of the father in the family.
That's right.
I don't want to say the mom and the mother of the house is their her actions and her faith is meaningless. That would be incorrect to say that, but it has much less impact on the child, whether the child is a boy or a girl, on whether they carry their faith into their adulthood.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that you're trying to venture into with your radio program, with the conference that you organize.
Walk, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then with this.
And the conference yesterday.
That's right. Yeah. All this stuff that you do is aimed at trying to get men to step up to the plate with their faith. And of course, there's a lot of guys that are doing their job, but I think a lot of men sit back and they do it because there's lack of faith, there's lack of energy, there's lack of something there. They sit back because the mom keeps stepping up, and she's the one that takes them to faith formation. She's the one that takes them to daily mass. She's the one that makes sure that they're prepared for their sacraments. She's the one that leads them to church, and the father tags along. And even if he goes to all of those things, if they sense he's tagging along, that's going to weaken their faith.
Yeah, definitely.
And folks, I implore you, I beg you to look up these stats. And especially guys, if you're lukewarm about the faith, this is one reason to dig deep into your faith, is because you want to see what's best for your children. And you know, guys, that faith is the best single thing that you can grab onto. It cements the marriage. It cements family life. It cements your work life. It cements friends. It cements everything that we do. There is no, and that's the purpose of this show. It cements our relationship with sport. We want to be Christian. We want to be Catholic when we step onto the court, not just when we're off the court. And I beg those men out there whose faith is lukewarm, even if it's been that way for decades, for you to find ways to step up and ramp it up so you can have a more solid marriage, a more solid family life, and you as an individual are more sound and you're going to be happier.
Well, the world has done a really good job in convincing men that that the practice of faith is a sign of weakness. And I can tell you that is the furthest thing from the truth. And I could line the world up with some pretty heavy hitting fellas,
yes,
and show them that is pure falsehood, and some of the most manly, tough guys that I know are the ones who actually practice their faith in a very intentional manner on a daily basis, for sure.
No, I like the way we've challenged the men that are listeners, and this is also challenging the women out there. If you have a son or if you have a husband, this, you want to challenge them as well. In fact, you can catch this on podcast on Carolina Catholic Radio. There's a bunch of ways that you can download this program, and of course, the obligation is available through those same avenues as well. Do we have our guest on the phone?
Yes, we do.
She's here. Fantastic. Let's have a brief conversation with her. We'll go to break when we have to, and then we'll come back after that. Folks, our guest is on the line. She is Paula Umana. She is a former world-ranked professional tennis player, the author of 40 Gifts of Hope, Encouragement in Times of Sickness and Suffering. Paula, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, John, for inviting me. This is so exciting for me to being able to share the faith and the sport.
No, I know. When I read about you, you know, you and I are both, we have something in common. In fact, we have a few things in common. Let me mention them, Paula. You're going to be impressed. First of all, we're both belong to the list of Catholic speakers at catholicspeakers.com. So we both spread the faith through that and the world of faith and sport. But if I read correctly, you're one of seven kids, right? You had six siblings growing up?
Yes.
And you have five children right now?
Yes.
Well, me too. I'm one of seven. We have five kids. Is that terrific or what?
Wow, that is amazing.
So listen, Paul, let's get right into this conversation. You've spoken a lot about your faith. There's videos out there. You can go to YouTube. Folks, you can see Paula speak to audiences there or just have an interview. But a lot of those aren't recorded. A lot of those aren't posted on YouTube. But Paula, when you do your presentations, what do audiences want to hear more? Your experience in life, like everything you've gone through, why you wrote the book, or what was the great facilitator of writing that book, or your experiences as a pro athlete?
Well, it is funny, John, because I share a little bit of everything, and I'm always concerned about people to bring a message home and apply it on their own life.
Yeah.
You know? So my story is very interesting, you know, on the fact that, yes, I was a professional tennis player and a mom of five, and then 8 years ago, I get all paraplegic. I get all paralyzed. And, you know, the challenging of going through being a person very active that leads from practically her legs to be a person not even to be able to only to speak practically.
Yeah.
But what I like to share more with the people is to give them tools, how to deal with suffering and illness in life. And when you go through challenges, what to do with your faith and what tools we have on the day by day when we are in front of the challenges that we all have in life, right?
Yeah.
This last weekend, on Saturday, I was in Buffalo, New York, talking to in a women's conference, and it was very beautiful because the topic was such a time as this from the book of Esther, and I just tried to apply how we can live, you know, always saying, here I am, Lord, on everything I do every day, you know. And, of course, it's very hard. It's very hard. We're human beings. We go through sufferings. We sometimes we're in pain. We don't have too much patience when we are dealing with difficult times in life. But we have our Lord that can help us through all this.
Yeah. Absolutely. And tell us a little bit about your book. Folks, we're talking with Paula Umana. She's a former professional tennis player. And the book, 40 Gifts of Hope in Times of Sickness and Suffering. I've read about you. You mentioned it here in this discussion that you have struggled a great deal with your health. You are currently a quadriplegic. Here's somebody who not only was very active, but your methods of earning money to live was through professional sport, through professional tennis. And was it you becoming really sick and then you having these issues with your health that led you to this book? Tell us a little about the connection there between your current state of health and what you've gone through in writing this book.
Sure. Well, it was very interesting because when I got very ill, I have a company in Atlanta, Georgia, where I live, that I give tennis to children. We are in 6 schools in town, and we provide after-school tennis programs.
Yeah.
And I thought my company was going to close. But the people that worked for me were super nice. Everybody keeps working. The schools keep the doors open. And to be able to work having a disability is... it's beautiful, you know, that you can be productive, that you can still do, but do it different. You know, maybe I'm not the person running and throwing the balls, but I manage the programs, and that is beautiful. But going to the topic of my book, John, when I was very ill, I realized that I needed more resources, that because people used to come to the room of the hospital and tell me, I'm praying for you and get well soon and you're going to be fine. But it was not working for me, you know. It was very frustrating that, you know, they come with good intentions, of course, but yeah, they leave the hospital walking, and I was a body paralyzed in a bed. And I said, I need something for this. And something I learned and realized is how important it is to share with the people that has lived the same situation to tell you what to do, and especially if they are Catholic. My book has 40 stories. They are short, and they are short on purpose. Because when you are ill or suffering, you don't have too much patience, you're angry, but you need something every day. So every story, 14 stories on the book are about me, but the rest of the stories, it's people that I interview around the world with different challenges. We have, you know, a boy that now is a professional tennis player, but he is in a wheelchair playing tennis. Hmm. We have blind people. We have people that suffer depression. We have people with lupus, women that couldn't have babies and they were super sad about it. So what do they do in the day by day? So my book has been practically a bestseller book because it's a very good tool for the day by day. And people like it a lot because a little kid can read it. You know, my son that is in second grade can read the stories. My dad that is 93 too, you know. So it's something very practical, let's put it that way. I'm not a person that likes to read a lot. So I say I need to make something dynamic. If somebody right now is a challenge with technology that people is not reading that much. So I work really hard to try to make it easy for everybody.
No, you have a great... message. You have put your experiences and faith to words, and that is motivated people, and you're motivating more people and encouraging more people through the talks that you give. I am so thankful that a lot of folks all over the country are reaching out to hear you speak, because we need to hear from faithful Catholics. We need to hear from people that have suffered and still are faithful. And I think our youth especially need to hear from professional athletes, because they often think, Paula, that when you have fame, when you have a little bit of money, that those are the exact reasons you don't need God. But instead, you saw that as, no, these are, I need God despite all those things. And you've spread that word through your book. And again, the book is 40 Gifts of Hope, Encouragement in Times of Sickness and Suffering. Chris, let's do this. Let's go to a break. And Paula, please stay with us. We're going to just have a 2-minute break. When we come back, we'll complete our conversation. I just have another question or two for you. So hang with us, okay?
Sure. Thank you so much.
Okay, folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, a co-production of Radio Maria. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Carolina Catholic Parish News. The Catholic Shop at Belmont Abbey College's annual Super Spring Sale is going on now through May 15th. 30% off one regular item and 10% off any additional items in your purchase. Store hours are Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4 p.m. Quo Vadis, Where Are You Going? Is a special retreat open to young men 15 to 19 years of age. The camp will take place at Belmont Abbey College from June 12th through the 16th. Here is an opportunity for Catholic men to learn more about the priesthood, deepen their faith, and help discern God's call in their lives. Register now at charlottevocations.org. For the Carolina Catholic Media News, I'm Pam Cullen. God bless y'all.
Experience the incredible story of the woman who Time magazine named the most influential Catholic woman in the United States. Born Rita Rizzo, the future mother Angelica grew up in a rough neighborhood in Canton, Ohio. Young Rita experienced abandonment, rejection, and heartache, but God touched her through a woman named Rhoda Wise. Encounter this amazing woman at the Mother Angelica Museum. Plan your visit today at MotherAngelicaMuseum.com.
Hey guys, it's Jason Murphy for the Obligation Radio Show. Make sure to tune in on Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. to catch our latest episodes. From kids to marriage to business and church to politics to current events, we discuss topics of faith and life to help you become the man, the father, the husband God is calling you to be. Catch replays streaming throughout the week and on demand over the Carolina Catholic Radio app or anytime at carolinacatholicradio.org. God bless and esto vir.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. Joining me in studio is Jason Murphy, the host of The Obligation right here on Carolina Catholic Radio. I want to thank the people in Radio Maria Land for hearing us on this day. Thank you for joining us. However, whenever and however you're joining us. I'm not sure I got those in the right order, but you guys get what I'm saying. Anyway, we're being joined on the phone today by former pro tennis player Paula Umana. She is the author of the book 40 Gifts of Hope, Encouragement in Times of Sickness and Suffering. Paula, you had a great saying that I read online, and I want you to talk us through this and maybe even give a specific example. You said, I can tell you 100 horrible things, but I can tell you 1,000 beautiful things. Tell us one beautiful thing that can leave us encouraged on this day.
Well, in reality, one of the most beautiful things that when I was, you know, all paralyzed, the thing that keeps me fighting and close to God and trying to be a better version of myself.
Yeah.
And you know, in reality, for me, the main ingredient was the love for my children, you know, because if it would be my own strength, I would be maybe taking the medication for depression and panic and all that. But I say, I cannot take all this. I need to keep moving forward for the love I have for my children, you know. So because that, I received so many blessings, you know, and I mean, beautiful things that happened to me. I can give you tons of lists of them, of blessings, but it's funny how now, right now I'm paraplegic from my knee to my feet is paralyzed and I use some special devices. And God takes me all over the United States and Latin America to talk. But my favorite part, John, is that when I do this, I always go with one of my children. And it's an experience of love for me to go and share our story of what happened to us. And to have, you know, I have a big family, five kids. So it's one kid at a time, and they're always like, Mom, when is my turn? When I'm going with you? So for me, that's one of the most beautiful things that, you know,
I love it.
That happened to me. And the other beautiful thing is that because when you see me physically, you can see I'm a person with a disability. So many people come to me and ask me the same question. Hey, what happened to you?
Yeah.
And there is a huge window for me to evangelize.
Yes.
You know, because they open their hearts very easy, and I can approach them in a different way. So I think this is an amazing blessing for me right now to use it for God. And of course, you know, some days are difficult for different reasons, you know. And I love to be honest always to the people, you know, and tell them the way we have to accept sufferings, but also, you know, to go and use all of them and embrace them and offering them for others. So if we learn to do that, we get in a stage of purification and privilege that we feel in a stage of grace when we learn to offer the sufferings. And it's something that we all go through that, right?
Yes.
When we have hard times in life. But right now is such a nice time for me because I can use everything that happens for the Lord.
Absolutely. Boy, that's a great way to conclude this conversation. I want to thank you for writing this book. It's inspiring a lot of people. I want to thank you for your faithful life and a special thank you for appearing on Faith and Sport today, Paula. Please pray for me in this show, and I will do the same for you in your mission as well. Thank you for joining us on Faith and Sport today.
Thank you so much, Johnny. You can follow me at paulaspeaker.com, or also you can go to Catholic Speakers Organization, and I would love to participate on anything to help, and I would love to go to Carolina one day.
We would love to have you here. Thank you again, and you have a good day.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless, Paula. That's Paula Umana. She's a former world-ranked professional tennis player. You can check her out at paulaspeaker.com or catholicspeaker.com. Either way, you can check out catholicspeakers.com if you want to book her for an event at your parish, something going around in the diocese. You can see that she is a joyful woman. She's an energized woman. She has a lot to say about the truth of our faith. How about that? I think it was the result of the birth of one of her mm-hmm. kids that she got this rare illness, and then it left her a quadriplegic, and then she regained some motion and so forth in her upper body, but still she's been wheelchaired pretty much since the beginning. And one of the things that she writes about is how difficult it was not to be able to hold her new baby with a great deal of difficulty, but she still remains faithful. And there's a lot to learn from that, right? Because we all suffer.
Yeah.
There's always these shortcomings that we have in life. And that woman still smiles. And that woman still has faith. So.
Oh, yeah. The joy in suffering. I mean, just, you know, you don't hear that much these days, especially one who embraces it. She's leaned into that. And,
amazing.
It's beautiful. Yeah, amazing. That's a great story.
Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria. In the beginning of the show, I mentioned that we're going to do Stat of the Day Parts 1 and Part 2. And we did part one in the first half of the show. Let's do part two, and then, Chris, we'll move right into quick Q&A with Dr. A.
Okay.
The stat of the week has to do with Draymond Green. He is a notorious professional basketball player, and this guy makes, for every basket he makes and every great game he makes, every great thing he does on the court, he has about three or four negative things that are said about him. This sounds untrue, but he has been fined $1.3 million. He's been suspended three times, six flagrant fouls, and 27 technical fouls. And Jason, get this. This is all just in playoff basketball. Not to mention.
Sounds like the new age Dennis Rodman or something, man.
That's actually a good analogy. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. But this guy's notorious. Did you see where he stepped on the player during the – yeah. And his Carolina guy, Steph Curry, goes, well, I'm not sure that was justified. And everybody, even the biggest fans, goes, well, if he would have done that and that was isolated, he probably just would have got a foul.
Sure.
But instead, he has this lifelong bad rap sheet, and the NBA just goes, you're out. And I thought it was a blessing for him only to be kicked out for one game. Mm-hmm. But again, the stat is $1.3 million, three suspensions, six flagrant fouls, and 27 technical fouls just in playoff basketball. How much...
He's the anti-Bryce Young.
He's the anti-Bryce Young. That's right. But we're still going to pray for him.
We are going to pray for him.
We're
going
to ask that he finds God. Brother, we have a couple minutes left still. The quick Q&A with Dr. A. You have something about a marathoner, right? Or ultra marathoner.
Yeah, I had to take a double take on this question when I first read it. I was like, what?
It says, should marathoners be allowed to take a taxi to improve their times?
I know that. I figured you'd get a kick out of it.
I would not be surprised in this world if that was allowed.
Well, no, don't say that if it
or
was allowed.
Or what about an Uber? Can they Uber?
Well, they could do whatever they want.
You
remember,
said taxi. You didn't say Uber.
That's right. Yeah. They could do whatever they want. It's just like in life, but there are consequences, right?
That's true.
So this Scottish ultra marathoner, Josiah Zakrewski, she raced a 30-mile plus. Remember, marathon is 26.2, so ultra marathon is generally anything more than that. And this gal ran in the Great Britain race from Manchester to Liverpool, again, about 31 miles, 31-ish miles. And they had a tracker on her, and they found out that in the final minute, she recorded a time of 1 minute and 40 seconds. Right? So everybody's tracked, right? And so they're like, wow, this is a world record, right? To run a 1 mile.
She saved it all for the end.
She saved it all for the end. Boy, the energy at the end was impressive. Yeah. Jason, you're right. Yeah. Anyway, this is a quote from the administrators of the race. The issue has been investigating, having reviewed the data from our racing tracking system, GPX data, statements provided from our event team, other competitors, and from the participant herself. we can confirm that a runner has now been disqualified from the event, having taken a vehicle transport during part of the route.
And she's a world-class runner, I'm sure, right?
She's great, yeah. In fact, she finished third, but she probably went from like 33rd to third. But she literally, I think if nobody would have found out, it would have been one of those many things. She's not the first person to do this, by the way. Other marathoners have done this. And in the past, people have taken that award and they've walked away. And of course, before there's tracking systems, they probably got away with a lot. There was New York City, there was some notorious cases of that. But something where she's tracked and there's other people that are going to be witnesses to the crime, I'm amazed that she did it. But it really does show what, right? First of all, what ultimate fatigue will do, right? It's perhaps a reason, not a good reason, but perhaps a reason why she cheated, right? She had lack of oxygen going to the brain. She couldn't make a good decision.
Think she had this in the plans. They weren't waiting behind the bush.
She could have, brother. That's right. The grassy knoll. She was waiting behind the grassy knoll.
Right up there with loading the fish with lead weights. I mean, it's right up there with in the fishing tournament.
That's right. There's all kinds of way that people cheat, and there's obviously hormones and other type of supplements that people can take that are both legal and illegal.
Remember Lance Armstrong?
Oh, well, yeah, blood doping boy. That's a whole other conversation. But here's the good thing is that she got caught and she admitted to it. So there was no argument from her. But shame on her for even thinking about doing this, because it's most likely how our children are. But they're not necessarily sorry, but they're often sorry that they got caught, right? Yeah. That's when they really express a lot.
Sure, of course.
But I do believe our kids, and I think most people, and it's possible, we don't know what's in this gal's heart. She could be truly, truly remorseful, and hoping she never does it again. But we, of course, hope that nobody takes a page from her book. That was an awful move.
Yeah.
And the irony was, she had run the 31-plus miles, and she just, for 1 mile, she took a...
I guess she didn't figure the GPS would track her speed. And she figured just the location.
No, you're right. You're right, because she could say, well, I was just running along that route. But that's what the GPS system does, right? It can ultimately monitor the speed. Amazing. brother, there's one more thing I want to talk about before we go, and that is a suburb of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, has done something that we've actually talked about on this show, but it's been a while since we talked about it, and that is, should parents be forced to or have the obligation to umpire or referee a Little League game due to their own actions? So, in Deptford Township, a suburb of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they've created an innovative new solution to combat the trend of parents arguing with umpires. So what they said was, you're not allowed to come to the complex until you've completed 3 umpire assignments. Once you do that, then we'll let you come back, said the president of this little league. Hmm. Your initial thoughts. What do you think when you hear this? Good, bad,
I don't
different?
Know. What's ringing in my ears right now is, in the words of Jeff Foxworthy, you can't fix stupid. And I don't know. I don't know if that's going to help. I mean, I imagine it may in some capacity. It may just dissuade others from acting the fool out there on a little league field. But I think that's an okay punishment there to put him through. I don't know if it's necessarily going to cure it.
Going to work, yeah.
But yeah, sure. Throw it out there. See if it'll stick.
I think they have very little to kind of fall back on.
Yeah.
So ultimately, I'm where you're at. I don't think it's going to work. I'm not sure it's going to work. Mm-hmm. But I do like the fact they're trying something. And one of the things they said, if you read about the story, is they're not going to be the home plate umpire. That would ruin the game, right? If they have no training or if they don't have good eyesight.
Yeah.
But if they are in the outfield, for instance, calling whether the ball's fair or foul, and they can be overruled by the home plate umpire, for instance, they're not going to ruin the game, but it might humble them, brother.
Yeah.
Because this is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. People berating, even as adults. And one of the things I've talked about before is children, especially the children of that parent, will mimic the parent. So if the parent yells at the coach, if the parent is negative to the umpire, they feel like they have permission to do that.
Yeah,
it's awful. So we want to stop that cycle. Mm. So ultimately, I like this. It'll be really interesting to see, brother, how this turns out. Yeah, stay tuned. All right, folks, listen, as always, we end with a quote. I have a new one this time. This comes from St. John Paul II. He said, "When sports are played and understood in the right way, they are an extraordinary expression of a person's best inner energies and of his ability to overcome the difficulties of competition." Before we go, special thank you, brother, to Jason Murphy, Paula Umana, everything you do, Chris, for this show, and always that you guys were part of the show today. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more faith in sport. St. Sebastian,
pray for us. You've been listening to Faith in Sport on Carolina Catholic Radio, Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic mobile app. We want to invite you to tune in again next time for another edition of Faith in Sport right here on Carolina Catholic Radio and also Radio Maria. We want to thank our Radio Maria listeners for tuning in to this edition of Faith in Sport as well. And next time you visit carolinacatholicmedia.org or the Carolina Catholic mobile app, hit that Donate Now button to help keep great Catholic radio programming on the air.